As you know, over the last little while, maybe a month and a half, we have been thinking on Sunday mornings about the eldership. And we thought about the elder as a follower. First and foremost, as we think about the election of new elders in church, but also just as we think about walking with Jesus, the elder is a follower, starting point, to love Jesus, to follow Jesus. The elder as a pastor, someone who cares for the flock, the people entrusted to your care. So again, considering eldership, or as an elder, do we care properly for the flock? What does that mean? It's not a job, it's a vocation. The elder is a leader, someone who leads with vision and with passion, with insight, because we have to trust God for where he wants us in the future as this congregation. The elder is a leader who leads with a vision. The elder is a teacher who thinks biblically, and thank you to Raymond for reading in Titus and just this little section. And we're just going to unpack it a little bit just as we think about it. The elder is a teacher who thinks biblically, because what this church needs to move forward is someone who filters all our decisions through the truth of Scripture, that we think biblically. That means that we must have the information. We need to know Scripture. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, a little passage that talks about eldership. The overseer must be able to teach. To be able to teach, you need to know your subject. So, little question for you. To be a London cabbie, what do you need? Liz, the knowledge. What is the knowledge? It's the maps of London. This is a picture from a knowledge school for London cabbies, where they go and study and study and study to know the routes all around London to help you find your way. And they need to be on the money, that when somebody jumps into the cab, they know the quickest, shortest route, or maybe the longest route because you can charge more. But you need the knowledge. If you're going to be a London cabbie, you need the knowledge. If you're going to be an elder, you need to be able to teach. You need the knowledge. We're not talking about information that will help you in a quiz show. We're talking about, as Paul writes to this young man, Timothy, preach the word. We're talking about the truth. So the information isn't just general information. It's the truth. Titus 1, verse 9, hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught. Hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught to you. What is that trustworthy message? It's the truth of Scripture. It's the good news of the gospel. So as we consider eldership, and as congregation, we maybe consider putting names down. You'll see the little sheet. I probably should have mentioned it earlier. It explains itself in the bulletin. Who are the people who think biblically? Who are the people who know the Word of God and can lead us through the filter of Scripture in this congregation? Jesus writes, John 8, 32, recorded by John, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I love, in Psalm 119, let me just skip over some of the verses for you. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 32, I love this verse. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Verse 45, I walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Wow. The knowledge, the truth. Verse 105, very familiar verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. David, writing in Psalm 119, is just saying, I want my life to be filtered through the truth of God's word, that my life may model, shape, and show God's truth as my guidebook, to have the knowledge. But we're living in a post-Christian society where truth has now, it's kind of whatever you want to make it. The Manic Street Preachers album, which is now about 15 years old, This Is My Truth, Tell Me Yours. That's the world we live in. Hope your truth can be whatever you want it to be. No, it can't. Truth is truth. And Scripture is the guidebook that the Lord has given us, a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And so, for us teaching, it's more than just information. The whole picture of being a rabbi, is about life learning, not just about picking up information, it's about following the rabbi. The biblical picture of rabbi, when Jesus said, come follow me, to the disciples, was not something unusual. That's what the rabbi did. But it's about following, it's about living, it's about life learning. And so in reality, it's about experience. It's about living the truth. So question, an elder must be fit to teach, means that you must have the information, know the truth, but not just as information for a game show, truth that you live, that the truth is deep within you and it works its way out in your action. I love, again, just some of the verses in Luke. The disciples are following Jesus. He's their rabbi, their teacher. Where's this verse from? I'm going to test your knowledge. Oh. Good man, Wesley. Gold star for you after. You give them something to eat. Feeding of the 5,000. The people are hungry. The disciples come to Jesus. Oh, people are hungry, Lord. He says, you give them something to eat. And it's the Lord stretching them and testing them and teaching them in experience. He appointed 72 and sent them out ahead of him. Now that meant Jesus was going too. And they came back to Jesus and said, remarkable things happened, amazing thing happened. Jesus said, just rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Jesus journeyed with them, walked with them, went with them. And maybe the most famous little verse that we can pick up is, why did the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray? Why did they say that? I believe it's because they saw Jesus praying. They saw how important it was early in the morning. He would go to the mountainside. He would go to be alone, find the quiet space. And the disciples watched him, and their experience was, Lord, there's something here that I need to know about. Lord, teach us to pray. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, teach us to pray. It was experience. It was walking with and journeying together. See, an elder should be someone who is passing on a legacy of faith, of passion and devotion. Now, when I read that to myself and I wrote it, that's a challenge. Because what is my legacy? What am I passing on to my children? to young people that I've worked with over the years, to yourselves in church, what is my legacy of faith? Do I show a passion? Do I show a devotion? Because that's where you teach, not just in a classroom, in experience. One of the things over the years that I've tried to do, and maybe more so with music, it's easy, but maybe also just with youth ministry, you watch me. Me and you do this together. I'll do this with you. You take the lead. I'll watch you do it. Do you get that? You watch me. You and I will do this together. I'll do this with you, but you take the lead. On you go. I'm cheering you on. And my heart sings with where I see some of the young people that I've worked with over the years and what God has done in them. And I know, and I don't mean it in a proud way, that I've maybe had a little bit to help in that, and that's part of my legacy. See, teaching is more than just passing on information or truth. The word shapes you, and your life shapes others. The word shapes you, and your life shapes others. Okay, pop quiz for you. Well, no, before we get there. I thought about it's like passing on the baton. And you can't run a relay by yourself. What is your legacy? What are you passing on as you live for Jesus? Pop quiz. Who is it? Obi-Wan Kenobi, William. Excellent. I'm going to wait until you tell me. Ironside. It's good, but it's not right. Come on. Professor X, Charles Xavier from the X-Men. Okay. Gandalf the Grey from Lord of the Rings. This particular chap here. Go Robin, Lion King. Woo! Rafiki in the Lion King. Okay. Rosemary, I thought you were going to go there. Mr. Miyagi. Okay, from the Karate Kid, from the good Karate Kid. Way back when. Stretching you a bit here. From? No, no, good, but it's not right, Michael. For Morpheus from the Matrix movies. Okay, this one's really going to test you. Okay, I'm not going to tell you. Well, you see, you would think. And this is one we all should know because it's from C.S. Lewis. Okay, and who is he? Professor Kirk, Diggory Kirk, who had actually been in Narnia before and was the professor in the house where the children came to live. But rather than talk about all this nonsense, what is the link with all of these people? They're all men. I actually tried really hard to get a woman, but couldn't find one. That's me told. What's the link? Teachers, anything else? Teachers is absolutely right. They all guided people. They were all elders in that they were older. They were all people in all these stories, people who had walked the road before and had the knowledge, knew the truth, how things worked in the Matrix or in Middle Earth or in Narnia or whatever. But they were there as guides. And that's the last place we want to go, to be a mentor. All of these people were mentors to younger folk. because they live the truth of their experience, of their world. And so an elder in church, part of your responsibility, or the responsibility you may take on if you're voted in as an elder, is to be a mentor who lives the truth and the experience. The elder must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught, so that he or she can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. See that? To encourage others. When I read this verse, again, it's about living in a way that filters everything through Scripture, lives biblically. When I think of these verses, I think of Margaret Usher, the late Margaret Usher from First Coleraine Church, who passed away just a few years ago, who was a mentor. Maybe in her mid-70s when she passed away, Karen can keep me right, she was maybe older. But she met young people and older folk for coffee. She called it homes and houses. She loved people and modeled faith to many, many people. She was about that height, and her email address, her name being Margaret Usher, her email address was musher@hotmail.com, musher. But she was a model of faith and life and love for people in First Coleraine. Joe Castles, very good friend of ours, is the same. Retired school teacher from the Inst, who ran a Bible study for students at the university down in Belfast, who still, we joke about his office in Starbucks, where he meets still young people in their 20s, in their late teens, who want to meet him for advice because he is a mentor. He just wants to live being examples to the flock. Follow my example, says Paul, as I follow the example of Christ. Excuse me, I'm dying with the cold again. Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them, following the rabbi, walking with the rabbi. The Greek word for spent time with, I've told you this before, I think, I've blessed me, diatribo. It means to rub into the skin. Where we get the phrase to rub off on someone, being a mentor. The elder as a teacher who thinks biblically, knows the information. Do you know Scripture? The truth of Scripture. But it's more than knowing the information, it's knowing the truth. But it's more than knowing the truth, it's living the truth in your experience. And it's about modeling that, mentoring others that you spend time with, that you rub off on others. So as we consider the elder as a teacher, the elder as a follower, the elder as a pastor, the elder as a leader, what is God calling to you, calling you to, sorry? As we consider this, it's not just head knowledge. It's about your heart, your life, your ministry. That your life speaks of Jesus because your life is filtered through Scripture. That people see Jesus in you and are attracted, and you model and shape and show Jesus to others. Let's maybe just pray together, please. Lord, please take these words where they're appropriate to us, Lord. Mold and shape us, we pray, that we may be more like you, that we may be the aroma of Christ in how we live and how our lives touch others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to